Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. How is everyone doing out there? I am your hostess, Miss Behaven. Welcome to Unleash Radio. I am so happy that tonight is just going to be an awesome night, that we have so many things happening. And I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for joining us tonight for a special evening of, well, you already know the topic. The art of rope bondage. The art of rope bondage. So before we delve into that, I just wanted to say hello, hello, and let you know that the chat room is open. So for those of you who like to chat with me during the show, it is open. So feel free to use your fingers and put your digits to work and say hello to me and ask any questions that you like. I would appreciate that. So as you know, the purpose of this show is to share some information and give love and spread love and all that stuff. And this is what I enjoy doing, you know, Unleash Your Inhibitions. It stems from one of our shows that we do every year with poetry, dance, and fashion, and music, and it's all erotically based. And I wanted to spend a little bit more time with you in between shows. That's why I have this show here, so I can actually talk to you guys and find out what's on your mind and let you know what's on my mind and share some information that will enlighten all of us about our fantasies, our fetishes, our fears, things that we want to overcome, and activities that we want to delve into and get the resources and use them to the best of our knowledge and play safely. That's what we want to do. So I'm all for that. I'm all for the love and everything. So I need you to check in with me and let me know what you want to hear. What would you like Ms. Behaven to share with you and bring on some other guests? I will be glad to just reach out and touch everyone and spend some time with you and share some information on that. And let me know what you're drinking, too. Tonight, I am sipping on red wine. I decided to go for a Spanish wine, so I'm feeling pretty good already. I've already started, so I hope you started as well so we can sip together. So, as you know, for those of you who have been listening to the show for a while, I'm dedicated to getting information about different aspects when it comes to sexual relations and relationships overall. I want to know anything and everything I can so I can make the loving better and step into something that I already know and feel comfortable with. So I do all this reading. I'm a dedicated reader. I want to read everything. I'm nosy. I'm a nosy person here. So I wanted to get some information about erotic literature. So I was like, okay, let me read up on that and share some of this information with my podcasters here. And I have that for you. So, you know, I've heard that, you know, women, you know, we read erotica differently than men, right? So women, when we read erotica for the fantasy, you know, to be in a sensual mood. We want to get into that moment. We want to romanticize. We want all of that, you know, candles burning or whatever, or just plain old, you know, this is how I want to be. This is my, you know, my dream man or dream situation versus a man. A man, you guys read it maybe a little bit differently, but we all can agree that when we read erotic literature, it's not pornography. It's not like the magazine. We want to read to enlighten and just get in the mood. You know, that's what we want. So I have a guest that will talk about his fantasies as well when it comes to bondage. So we want to get into that. So you make sure that you stay tuned for that question because I will ask it. I will ask it. For those of you who want to call in, let me give you this number so I can hear your voice. The number is area code 657-383-0398. And like I said, the chat room is open. And I want to make sure that I get all your questions and your comments and your suggestions heard and read. So if you want to get into the chat room, feel free to do that. Or if you want to call in, feel free to do that as well. I'll take all calls. Tonight's discussion is all about what? Sex, of course. So in a relationship and with your inner voice, it speaks out. You know, you like him or you like her and you have fun together. You guys are having a really good time together. There's no drama. You know, everything is going great. But the bedroom action is a little bit weak. So, you know, you want to grow the relationship and you have this chemistry that's going, but the bedroom is just not quite there, so you want to, like, spice it up a little bit, right? So what happens then? Do you have something to grow on? Sure. There are alternatives. There are options. We have things that we can do, like bring in kink, bring in toys, bring in rope, all of that, right? So I want you guys to know that, you know, all the myths and, you know, the mysteries, that's like my favorite term, the myths and, excuse me, the mysteries into rope bondage, that can all be, you know, erased because you're going to get so much information tonight about what it is to be tied and satisfied. And understand this. Rope bondage is a playful restraint. This is not something where you feel like, oh, you know, this is too much. This is not socially correct. You know, I'm all against this because I don't really trust that person too well. Or just going back to that, say rope. I don't want to deal with rope. But understand this, when you're in a relationship with someone who understands and you communicate, it's all good. It is all to the good. So if you want to get delve into role play, it is a playful restraint, and it's an art form. It's a combination of passion, sensuality, and it's just something that can be handled. You know, it's still edgy, but not too edgy. You know, unless you let it be. You know, restraint is just that, just restricting your lover's freedom. You know, you bind them, but there is a sense of freedom to both body and mind, because you two have a mutual understanding of what it is to have this type of play, this bedroom play. It's erotic, it's titillating, you know, and you can't just limit yourself to just saying, well, you know, I don't know if I can do this. Well, you know, there are levels to it. You know, if you don't want to use rope, that's fine. There are other options. You know, you can use handcuffs. You can use saran wrap. You know, bandanas or silk ties. But the great thing about understanding restraint play and you know, rope bondage, there is that sense of comfort of knowing that there is safety first. So if you're with someone who is experienced in that level, they will know, he or she will know that, okay, safety first. We need to go over these safety tips. We've got to make sure that we are on the same page. We have to establish, like, the no tie zones. You know, there are certain places on your body that you shouldn't tie. So we want to make sure that your lover is is well. We don't want to go to the hospital, okay? That's never a sexy date once you end the session, going to the hospital. And I'm not laughing at the idea of going to the hospital. It's the idea of you're in this sexy mood, and all of a sudden it's like, damn, well, that's messed up now. Let's take a trip here. And how do we explain this? So think about that. You want to have those safety discussions and be over prepared. There's nothing wrong with saying, you know, I want to make sure I have this in line. I want to make sure I have this. I mean, do you guys agree? I mean, I would love to hear from you as far as, what do you think? Would you try rope bondage? There are some taboos about rope bondage that you have heard, and that has, you know, caused you to not try it. Or have you been in conversations with friends and discussed, like, well, you know, I heard this about bondage, and I think it's disrespectful. Or, you know, or I hurt too much, or what if the person leaves me, you know, unattended? All that stuff. I mean, I'm really curious to know, do you guys come across folks who are curious, but they have these taboos that kind of lingers over their head, and it's like a cloud that says, no, I'm not going for it because I've heard this. So, you know, let me know. You can call in. Once again, let me give you that number. There you go, 657-383-0398. Again, 657-383-0398. And as I mentioned before, the chat room is open, so please join me in the chat room as well. Of course, you already know I'm a nerd, so I always have some sex facts I want to share with you. So here is my sex fact for today. Let's see. excuse me. I feel like I've, like, given you so much information last week. I'm to that. I think you've heard this before, but for those who are new to this, there was this thing where pent-up sexual frustration was called Hysteria. Have you heard of that? There's actually a movie. There is a movie called Hysteria, and I watched it twice because I thought it was really funny, and it's really cool. It's about, you know, women who will go to the doctor because they were diagnosed with having hysteria. So the doctor will have to, and lack of a better word, get them off. So they were, you know, the form of masturbation, and make sure these women achieved orgasm so they would be cured from hysteria. So there's your sex fact for this evening. Hysteria. So whenever your woman is walking around and she's going crazy, you're like, baby, I think you're coming down with hysteria. Let me help you out. So here's another fun fact, or no, not a fact, trivia. And for anyone who can answer this, just answer it over the in the chat room or call in. So here's a trivia question. Whoever gets it right gets a yay for me. All right, so here's the question. What famous beauty was fathered by womanizer Pope Alexander VI? So again, the question is, what famous beauty was fathered by womanizer Pope Alexander VI? Was it Agnes de Mille, Empress Josephine, Lucrezia Borgia, or Josephine Baker? Call in or give it to me in the chat room, and I'll let you know the correct answer at the end of the show, okay? So with that said and done, are you guys ready to talk about this topic? I think I've rambled on long enough so we can talk about what we're really here for. We are here for the art of bondage, and Solomon Abrams will be our guest tonight, and he's going to tell us all about the journey of art, the art of bondage, and what you can do to, bring your love into the next level, and behind it. We want to know where it came from, how it's done, what should we do, how do we do it, a lot of you may already know how to do it, but, I mean, as far as the rope tying, okay? There is a science to this, y'all. You can't just go in there with a rope. You need to know how much you need, what kind. Don't walk into Ace Hardware store unprepared. You need to know all these tools, okay? So we are going to take a quick break while I refill my glass. And make sure you get your glass ready, because Solomon Abrams will be discussing all that you need to know about the art of bondage. All right? See you back in about 2 minutes.
She gets home. Oh, yeah. Mr. Lena, sleep and wake me up.
Once again, this is your host, Ms. B. Haven, and we are discussing the art of bondage. Yes, lovely topic, lovely topic. I decided that we need to get tied up and get ourselves prepared for some cuffs, ropes, tape, anything, ties, just to be satisfied. So we're going to start with the art of rope, rope tying, rope bondage. And who else to talk about it? I decided to bring on a great, great gentleman by the name of Solomon Abrams. He will share with us some info about what we need to do, what we need to practice, how we need to get it done. And there are different types of ties. So we don't want to just walk in there blindly, right? I mean, well, let me step back. Some of us may want to be blinded, but for those who are doing the tying, you need to know what needs to happen, right? So your girl is here to help you out with that. That's what I'm here for. So without further ado, here is Mr. Solomon Abrams. Hello, hello, Solomon.
How you doing, Ms. Behavior?
I'm good, I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic, but getting better. No complaints from me at all.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show tonight to spend some time with us and to play with us, because I have a lot of questions that I want to ask you, and some of our listeners are already chiming in with some questions. So I definitely want to make sure I get their questions out as well. Let's see, who is this? Oh, hello, Kinetic. How are you? So we have folks in the chat room as well. So I just want to send that quick shout out. Solomon, are you ready for some questions?
I'm definitely ready for some questions.
Because I'm ready to give it to you.
Okay.
All right, so first, let's start off with, how long have you been involved in rope bondage and fetish?
I started doing rope bondage roughly 2011. I guess I should give you the backstory to kind of set up. I was doing photography before then, and I was trying to find a little niche for myself, find something that was more comfortable. And it was around right before maybe the January of 2011. So I was looking to find something to sort of set myself apart and to do something that was sexy and erotic. And it's all fun. So I had a model. We had just completed a shoot, and I kind of threw the idea out, and she was receptive to it, and we tried it. Did a quick, did some quick rope bondage from there, and I was basically hooked. It allowed my doing that shoot with her, kind of, you know, open that kinky Pandora's box of things. So I began studying different ties and different things like that. So I started around roughly 2011, roughly. Yeah.
Okay, now when you started out doing photography and then incorporated the rope.
Yeah. Yes, in a way. So let's go back a little bit. So I started in porn. I used to run and operate a glamour porn site for plus size women. And as I transitioned away from shooting XXX porn, I wanted to concentrate on photography and those aspects of it, and kind of create the content for that I didn't see, things that were, I'm going to use words like tasteful, things that were erotic, things that spoke to the kind of things that I liked personally. Kink, fetish, curvy plus size women, glamorous black women, dark skin, and all those things like that. So when I stopped doing porn, when I concentrated on working with my camera, that's I gravitated toward those types of things. And I started shooting. I've been shooting photography. I've been doing photography roughly 10 years. So.
Oh, okay.
That's a little bit of backstory on me.
Nice. Okay. Quick question from one of our listeners already. She wants to know, what is the best beginner book for learning about tying yourself up?
For tying yourself or someone else? The best, it's so many books that speak to rope. I'm going to say the books that I purchased there's books by a gentleman called The Two Knotty Boys, K-N-O-T-T-Y. Mm-hmm. They have two books, and there is a gentleman by the name of Douglas Kent who has a book entitled Complete Shibari. He has two, actually. He has one for, it's called Complete Shibari for Land and Complete Shibari, I want to say, for sky or for air, but it's basically for doing suspensions. I started with the 290 Boys books. Actually, I started online looking at their YouTube videos over and over and over again. But if you want to buy the books, the 290 Boys books are really good. They walk you through step by step on they give you the basic things you need to know. Starting off with safety, different types of ropes, and some very basic knots, a kind of building block, what I call them building block knots, knots that, these three or four knots, as you progress, you can build off your knowledge. It's kind of like, you learn your ABCs, then you learn sentence, like words, and then sentence structures, and so on and so forth. So, like I said, 290 Boys, and that's...
Okay. Now, which bondage position do you prefer to use on your models?
This is going to sound one of those all-encompassing kind of cop-out answers. It depends on the model.
What do you mean by that?
Well, some people, no one or two women are the same. Different body structures. Some people have different, so you take a person's body structure based on their limits, based on their physical features that I may want to accentuate. Then depending on if we work together, just the kind of the vibe we get. Some people, I don't go into the shoots thinking I'm going to definitely tie up like this, but all I do is wait for them to come and I have an idea of something I may want to try. And we kind of vibe. I throw some jazz on, and I kind of just let the feeling go. But some of the body parts that I like to tie a lot, breast, legs, butt, arms, hands. So it depends, but I like the main things, breast, legs, butt behinds and things like that. So. Feet. So it depends, It depends on the person. It's like, it's like dancing. You're a dancer. Like some people, you vibe better with them to certain music. Certain people have a different kind of rhythm that, even though you may not necessarily like the song that's playing, but you like dancing to that song with them because of their energy and those kind of things. So it's kind of like saying, what song do you like to dance most to? I like to dance. So it's the same thing with rope.
I can relate to that.
One, so there's no one tie or one, I'm going to definitely do this all the time. It depends on the person and what their, and especially what their limits are. If it's a newer person I've never done rope with, I take her limits, I take her boundaries, and I kind of come scale back a little bit so that if this is our first encounter, I don't want to take her past where she's comfortable. I want to get her close to her limits and kind of let her say, hey, no, I think I can go a little bit further, and let her experience it at a slower rate. So it depends.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. What about what binding or rigging material do you prefer, or what's your favorite?
My favorite rope is natural fiber rope. They have a few different kinds. I'm a big fan of cotton and jute and hemp rope. I like it because it has what I like to call bite. It has that tooth. But it's still soft, and it just feels. I like to work with more natural materials. It just feels better, you know. The natural fiber rope, when you a lot of shibari, so the Eastern styles, they're more predicated on using what we call frictions and turns, so they're not necessarily knots, and they don't slip. So once you can tie that and it doesn't slip, I like that, being able to set the tension or not set the tension based on the use of the rope.
Okay. Now, for those, let's back up a bit. Now, you mentioned shibari. So explain to our listeners, what is shibari?
Okay. So let's talk. Shibari is a Japanese word, and it roughly just translates to tie. I've been trying to find if it had a better, deeper meaning, but it just means to tie or to tie with rope. And it is, so there are basically two types of bondage when it comes to rope. There's a Western style has more uses of knots, and then there is the Eastern style that's more what they use, uses more, let's say, turns and frictions and things like that, but not necessarily knots. It's kind of the way if you bring the rope back against itself, the tension, and, you know, those things help secure the rope.
Okay. Cool. So, let me see. Oh.
Okay.
Now, when you tie your models up, do you use gags?
Only if they are comfortable with that, and it fits the concept. Now, in my personal life, it's more if it fits the concept. If I don't need or want the person to be gagged, I don't. But if it fits if it fits what we're doing, then maybe. But for my models, I only use a gag if that's something that, one, they're comfortable with, and two, if it fits what we're doing. You know, don't want to spend all this time and energy putting makeup on a lipstick, and then we put a gag on and it messes it all up.
I know, we want to look good.
Right.
Going through all this, and it's like, wait a minute, you just smeared my lipstick. Hold on.
Right, the lipstick jacked up, you know. So right. I do sometimes, though. I do like you.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, okay, I have another question from a listener. She asked, how thick should the rope be?
Thickness of the rope. It is common to use a thickness of about between 6 to 8 millimeters. Most of the time you'll see between 6 and 8. Any thinner than that, if you're going thinner than 6 millimeters, I would suggest to not do any suspension or tying off. I don't like using anything smaller than 6 because it has a tendency to cut into the skin and a little bit more restricting. And thicker than that, it's harder to work with. About 6 to 8.
Okay. All right. Another question from a listener.
Okay.
He comments that he loves the look of the tie, of how it, you know, how it looks, but what is the turn on? Is it the beauty or the restriction?
Yes.
So
for me, it's a little
it's
bit.
Both.
I like. Okay, so let's go with the first one. It's the restriction. I have the ability with rope. I have the ability to bind the person in a position that I want them to be in. I use a little bit of maybe erotic hypnotism, or we'll say suggestive terms, and it helps them get into that mood. So using that rope, not only does it bind them and restrict them, it allows me to kind of connect with the person, and without actually, you know, without physically connecting with them. Then the next part is, the other part of that answer is, it looks good when you can take the rope and you do a certain tie around their breast to make their breast sit like you like them, or make their legs, you know, accentuate a part of their body that you like, or that they like, you know. So it's a little bit of both. And the other part is for the model or the bottom of the woman, or for some people, for the man, the other person, that using that connection to give, you bound somebody, you have them tied, whether it's, since we're speaking with rope, you have them tied, that transfer of energy that you can put in, that gives them that time to be, that's kind of, it gives them a chance to feel, they can feel your presence. They can kind of feel that. A lot of women have told me it makes them feel like more comfortable to have that rope, you know, tightly around them. And I like that, you know. Who doesn't like a damsel in distress, like tied up, like, you know, on some trans tracks? So I like, so yes, so all of the above. I like it.
Now for the woman being tied.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm speaking for a friend. the whole being rope drunk, you know, having that experience of being rope drunk, and so it's like the equivalent of a runner's high. Have you had that experience with your models or with your lover where she is rope drunk, and what is that like?
Okay, so I won't speak for them. I will speak for me. There have been times there have been times that I kind of feel that euphoric, because I don't want to call it rope drunk, but that rush, that I have experienced it. I've had women cry. I've had women orgasm. I've had women who started the session or the shoot thinking, having an adverse thought about rope. And then after the feeling, weeks later, they'll call me or they'll inbox me and say, I missed the rope. I missed being tied up, and so on and so forth. So it's a different kind of experience. It is that a lot of women tell me, it's that desire to let someone else be in control, whether they relinquish it, or there are times where some people, they kind of fight. As I'm tying, I can still feel them fidgeting and kind of fighting against it, but they kind of come to a point, a conclusion in their mind that, hey, they can't get out, and they sort of, it's like a little calm comes over them, and it's like, man, that felt good to be able to trust someone enough to just let go. So that's one of the, it's that they have that time, they're like, they can just let go, and for this, you know, for this moment, however long this session may last, they can just not worry about the outside world. They can just kind of let it be. And whatever their own little fantasies become, they have them. And they, you know, so they do say it's like a high. There's a drop afterwards, but, you know, that, you know, you're coming down off that high. But they like it. They all like it.
Do you perform aftercare?
With
some of them, you
yes.
mentioned that some of them cry. Do you perform aftercare with them?
Yes, I have. Yes, sometimes. Like, not everyone. Some people don't know what that feeling is. They don't know what that feeling is. So, and I don't want to come off as the pervy rope photographer dude hugging on them. So I do my best. I do my best with aftercare. Most of the time, it is most common that after the shoot, that the aftercare is just basically allowing them to sit and enjoy the moment, giving them a blanket or some water. Some people have asked me, can they have a hug? Yeah, here's a hug, you know. And in my personal
mm-hmm.
life, we, you know, there's some cuddling. There is, you know, kind of rub on some feet and booty.
Mm-hmm.
We talk.
mm-hmm.
You know, so I'll say, yes, I do aftercare. And for times where it's not personal, it's for a shoot, I just kind of let them unwind on their own. I don't rush them out like, oh, it's time to go, your session's over. I kind of let them, you know,
right.
Especially with the newer ones who've never done it, I let them sit for a little longer. I find them kind of dawdling and they don't know, like I'm looking at their face and they don't know what's going on. They're like, man, why do I like that? And they're like, oh, it's okay, you know, it's okay. And
mm-hmm.
kind of let them just come back to it. Plus, the other thing is, the other sort of forms of aftercare is letting them sit, because the practicalness of it is that being bound, it does, like, restrict some of your circulation. So I'll allow them to kind of get that feeling back, that full feeling back in their extremities, and just, you know,
mm-hmm.
come on their own. Like, okay, yeah, my toes are twinkling, wiggling my toes, wiggling my fingers, you know, rub
mm-hmm.
on that little rope marks that are left on their body. Like, oh, I like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, to answer
okay.
your question, yeah, I do have to care.
Okay, awesome. So is it more so of being in control, or is it being controlled? That's the question that one of our listeners have. They want to know, is it more of a turn on to being in control or being controlled?
If you're asking me, it's more of a turn on to be in control. I like to be in control.
In control.
Someone else may say they like to be controlled. I like to be in control. I believe myself to be a tease at times. So there's that aspect
mm-hmm.
of it. And then there's that feeling that of the other side of trust. But someone trusts you enough to allow you to tie them in any way that you want, and kind of do whatever it is you're going to do. And that in and of itself is a tunnel. So it's a responsibility.
Gotcha.
Having a responsibility can be a tunnel for me anyway.
Gotcha. Okay. So what actually inspires you when, you know, you have a session scheduled and you know what your model's experience is already, or you know her level of experience with it, and you know what she looks like. So what actually inspires you when you see her come through the door? What clicks in your head to say, okay, I want to do this type of tie?
First, I wish I had a better answer than this one, but just the sexiness of creating an image that is just sexy, and a lot of things that inspired me as far as creating those images is, you know, I was born in the 70s, so those album covers. So when I get ready to start tying and I think of pictures, I think of, would this photo look good on an album cover? Would it look good as a, would this look good as a velvet painting, you know? So in, say, 10 years from now, when they look up black rope bondage and this picture comes up and the photo I'm going to create with someone comes up, will it still look as if someone just took it? Can it be classic? Will it make people want to try this, you know? Will it make people, will it turn them on and intrigue them? So that's what inspires me, just creating the image, the image I have in my head, creating that, capturing that image and then sharing it with the world. And then also I'm inspired by the other, you know, by my peers, the people who came before me, you know, like the brother Matthias Black, and this another brother out in L.A., Orpheus Black. A lot of brothers' last name is Black in this industry. And just other people who I speak to online, and just to kind of do something, and we create it, and they kind of, you know, give you that thumbs up, whether it's an email or call or comment on a photo. So that inspires me to, you know, although I'm a kingster, I'm an artist at heart too. I want to, you know, I want to create that picture, that moment, that everything, and say, aha, I did it, you know, and have it. Something that you can look at it and say, you know, I want to try that. So that's those are the things that inspire me.
Okay. Nice. So another question I have for you. Describe your typical photo shoot with a model when it comes to bondage.
Okay. Typical photo shoot. She comes in, we discuss, kind of go back over what we're going to do. No matter how as fun as rope is, it's not like other things, you know. So whatever we discuss before, I make sure that's what we're going to do again. You know, make sure the model stretches, make sure that I, you know, have water ready and everything's set. So we, you know, the regular prep for photo shoot happens. Model does the beautifying makeup, hair, and those things, and wardrobe, and I do the lights and all that. But the only aspect now is I kind of talk her through the process. Hey, here's what I'm going to do. Here's how these poses are going to look. And I get, you know, so I prep as much as I can before I start tying her, so that once I begin to take photos, that I like to keep the model. I like to have them only in the rope for as long as I need them to be tied up. The main reason for that, along with safety is first and foremost. But the other part is I can be a photography nerd, a photo nerd, and I'll get lost in the photos. So if I don't prep things before, I'll just take photos and kind of get lost. So I like to have everything set up so that we can get you know, the ties done and undone in a timely manner and keep the direction going. So typical, you know, and then I try to stick to the time, monitor the model. Hey, how you feeling? How's this feeling? Are you okay? Or, you know, we can stop or we take a break, things like that. So most shoots run from just doing one tie, maybe 30 minutes to an hour. Sometimes it runs longer, sometimes it's less, depending on, you know, with all other factors. So that's a typical shoot.
Okay.
Do a view.
So back to the historical context when it comes to to rope bondage. Now you mentioned earlier about shibari, and do you know, like, the origin of shibari, like how it got started?
No.
Was it always erotic or?
Let me dig into a book or two. I want to say no, there was not always erotic. There are some of the earlier ties and things were more for tying and restraining prisoners,
mm-hmm.
things like that. I don't have the information in front of me. So a lot of the early ties were for restraining prisoners.
Okay.
Now I don't know
okay.
which grandmaster changed it, but that's where and that probably mm-hmm. if I'm wrong, somebody can hit me on Facebook and be like, "Hey brother, here's a link for that." So, okay.
Well,
I'm not getting reading.
Knowledge.
Yeah, I don't.
Right, we always learning. We're all a work in progress. We're
right.
all learning. So, but I know I do remember reading something about that. I wasn't sure. That's why I was asking you. But I remember it's mm-hmm. like we're literally like talking about like in the 1400s. And
mm-hmm.
like you said something about
Wait.
Prisoners. And when you said that, I'm like, oh yeah, that triggered my memory that it was not always erotic. It was for
right.
tying up prisoners. So, yeah. So, I thought that was very interesting how it evolved from tying up prisoners to then going into an erotic sector.
Right.
So,
like a mad.
Right. It's like, let's turn this into something else.
Right. You know,
so,
it's always that.
We're always ready to flip something. We're ready to flip anything.
Right.
Man.
especially if a person has a sadistic mind, they're like, maybe I can tie this person up
exactly.
and kiss the nipples. Oh, that feels good. Really?
Exactly, exactly. The prisoner might really like it. So.
Right, like, hey,
exactly.
do that again. No, I'm not going to do it again. Do it again. So, yes.
Yep. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick 2-minute break because I need to refill my glass. And for those
okay.
of you who are still chatting and I'm receiving the text messages and I'm going through your questions, I'm going to get everyone's questions out there. So we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back to Solomon Abram and get some more information about the art of bondage. So hold tight with me, Solomon. Welcome back, you guys. I am speaking with Solomon Abrams, and we are talking about the art of bondage. So I hope you guys are getting a lot of information, writing some notes, and getting inspired. And if you have any questions, please feel free to call in. The number is area code 657-383-0398. Again, the number is 657-383-0398. And the chat room is open. So if you don't want to call in, feel free to go into the chat room and post your question or suggestions there. So, hey, Solomon.
Hey.
So we are back. And the last we were discussing about the origin of the Shibari. So did you want to elaborate more about the history of Shibari? I'm all about nerding. I need to, you know, for all my sex nerds, we all like to hear about some information about that.
Okay. So, yeah, I had to check my notes. You were correct.
Okay.
It started in the 1400s. They call feudal Japan, and then it was known more as my Japanese is horrible, Hodojutsu, and that basically that was the official punishment, and it derived from there. There's a lot more Japanese terms for it, but that's what it started as, Hodojutsu.
Okay.
And I gotta make sure I'm saying it correct, and it evolved from there. I guess once again, more as a punishment, torture for, you know, restraining prisoners and those things.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there
well,
we go.
Now we
little,
know.
Little history lesson. Now we know. I got to stick
yes.
to that. Now I got to start doing some more studying.
Man, well, hey, we all got to get some studying in on that because I'm really fascinated by that. And, you know, I was always curious as to, like, okay, how did this get started? How was it inspired? And what led to this? And the names for different ties. I didn't even know that there were, like, different names for various ties,
mm-hmm.
Various knots. So can you talk about any of the knots? I mean, I know that we don't have, like, a PowerPoint presentation going on, but what is, like, the... What is the main knot? You know, like everything has like that foundation that you have to start with. This everybody needs to know this type of knot in order to start with
okay.
the next level.
Okay, so in my class, let me start off with that. In my class, the first thing mm-hmm. I teach people are how to do what's a turn. What's a friction with when it relates to Shibari? What's a turn? What's a friction? What are the two differences? And then we move that into doing what are known as column ties, a single column tie and a double column tie. A column is basically anything you tying up. So one arm would be a column, a foot would be a column, and if you tie them. Like separately with something separate, that's two different columns. So those are some of the basics. Let me flip through. Some of the basic knots are, as it relates to knots, one moment. The double coin knot is one of them. The basic knot, a square knot. And there's, you know, what else? A large head. There is what is known, one of the more common ties you'll see in with Shibari is what's called a TK. It's a upper body, like a more of a chest harness. For legs, there is, I'm going to butcher this word, the Fudomomo, which is basically tying of the leg or what's called a fat leg. There is a tortoiseshell tie.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the most common. Those are the most common ties. I don't, like I said, I'd probably butcher up the Japanese names for them, but so a TK chest harness, what's called a fat leg for the legs, and what's called a turtle shell tie. Those three for Shibari are the most common. You'll see them or some variation of those if you know how to tie. Those three things you can kind of build from there.
Okay, so there are like this Eastern influence of ties, and then there's
mm-hmm.
a Western influence of ties.
Correct.
So, okay, so let's say that I had posted a picture earlier today on Facebook of different ties, and there was one where the woman is in tied with rope as a dress, a fitted dress.
Okay.
So, is there a certain tie name for that, or not, or that's just a style of? You know what I mean?
Okay,
like,
so
I don't know if there is like a dress knot.
Okay, so I think the photo, and someone inboxed me, it's the photo I believe you're speaking of is with the woman. Man, so first off, no, not necessarily officially is there a dress knot. There is a man.
Okay.
I keep forgetting this person's name, who does some very phenomenal things with rope. He ties it and makes it look like clothing. I've done it once or twice, but not to the degree that he's done it. That's like, if it were a good
intense.
Time, I'm kind of like at a regular guitar player, and that dude's like the prince of guitar playing. Like, he does something different with it. So it's
But it's still is it still based off of the same like foundation of the knot? You just learning, as long as you know what the knot what knot you need to use, then you just kind of like go, you know, add the creativity part, just adding the dress styling and the pretty stuff. Okay.
Correct. Which one is this? Are you speaking of the one you posted? It would be it's a group of four photos on the bottom right. I believe this photo is.
She's wearing like a dress. Well, it's a rope, but tied like a dress. Yeah.
So the bottom half is basically, you know, like I say, it's basically like one large, what we would call a single column tie. And then he has some intricate designs along the sides of it. Now, the top part is, that's pretty flat. I never even looked at it this way. It's not even an actual knot. It's just kind of a weaving pattern. And he just, you know, used it. Now, the funny thing with that is there is a tie that you can do to create a bra or a tie you can do, a knot that you can use to create a look for panties. If you want to do like a bikini cut, or if you wanted to do make a bra for someone, you can do so. I'm going to say if anyone's going to do that, I suggest do it on a smaller person. It's just easier. But you can do it. But that photo, if we're taking the same one, it's not really even a knot or a certain tie. He just has the rope weaved in a certain way that gives the look of kind of a bra on the top.
Oh, okay. So there's almost kind of like that whole crochet weaving aspect.
Correct. Right. That,
okay.
These photos are what they would consider, would you consider someone, I learned this term maybe last year, erotic macrame. So it's a little bit different. It's based on shibari, but some of the things that they do, some of the things when you do them, it's a little bit more erotic and a little bit more intricate, and it's done for the sake of being pleasing to the eye or for more of an erotic sensation.
Okay, gotcha. So can you talk to us about safety tips when it comes to bondage? If there are some folks out there who are new to this and they want to get into it, what are the safety tips?
So first off, I'm going to say do it with somebody you trust. So let's go with, if you are the person, if you are the person tying the rope, only do what a person is comfortable doing. Be knowledgeable, understand, you know, what to do. The person being tied should, one of the safety things is be very, very truthful with yourself as far as your health. Do you have bad circulation? Do you are you known that do you have bouts of what I anxiety? Are you flexible? Those things. Keep a one of the main things we tell people, keep some safety shears around. Do not tie over. Do not tie over like your joints. Don't tie like on over an elbow. Don't tie over a. There's a on your arm. So if you go from your shoulder and you start coming down your arm where your tricep is right into that natural indentation, do your best to not tie there because it'll cuts off circulation, and I don't want to get into the medical aspect of it. Just don't tie there. Keep safety shears around. Make sure they're sharp. What else? Understand that. Now, this is for the people tying the tops. Understand that when you tie someone up, you are responsible for them. So don't do anything stupid. I don't tie anyone who's been drinking or high, or who isn't drunk. Sometimes they might have one drink, or they may hit one blunt. But no, if they are noticeably, if I see that they noticeably intoxicated with or doing any kind of drugs, I don't tie them. That's my own personal thing. So let me look at my notes. The other safety thing is inspect. If you're going to tie them to something, inspect you're going to tie them to. Is it I want to say first off, don't do any suspension. If you don't have anyone, if you haven't been taught or have someone there to look at it, to kind of look at it, but don't tie anybody to anything that's unsafe. You know, don't tie anybody to the side of a car or silly shit like that. What else? 2 seconds. Safety shears.
So there are some no-bind zones. So no-bind zones include certain areas, like you said, the pants, like around the pants area. You said certain joints,
right.
And I'm just reiterating so folks can really get it. Definitely not around the neck. That's too much of a risk.
Right, your first time, not around the neck, not around.
Yeah, first time for apprentices, you know, around the neck, you know, or the lower lungs.
Correct.
So for new folks, you want to make sure that you don't target those. And like you said, again, like the joints, the elbows and things like that.
A good rule of thumb, and for new, if it's your first time trying it, I suggest for people to only to do, say, wrist. You can tie at the wrist, even though it's a joint, you know, at the wrist, maybe at the ankles. Be careful of tying someone's hands or arms over their head, if it creates if it'll cut off their circulation. I had a sister who was busty, and her hands were down. And when I moved her arms up, she started fainting. She started like going out. Like, oh, what was that? Sometimes a good rule of thumb, a good guideline is when you tie someone, like say how their wrists or their ankles or things like that. If you can put your finger in there easily, that's a good rule of thumb. That's a good, guideline, a good basis to say, hey, I can put my finger in there and I can move my finger. There isn't binding that restriction.
Okay.
Another thing to keep in mind as far as safety is you have to know that once you tie someone up, and they may be comfortable at the moment, but it may get worse as time goes on. So if it's sort of tight, just loosen it a little bit. It's okay.
Okay.
What else? Try your best to not have the ropes cross. because sometimes they create a pressure point. So mm-hmm. when you tie the ropes and you do the runs, make sure they try your best to not have them cross. One, it looks better, and two, it won't create that pressure point.
Nice. Okay. Good. So, yeah, that's very important information. So do you teach these classes?
Yes. I teach a class periodically for couples, kind of an introduction to kink and fetish in the bedroom. We teach myself and my girlfriend, we teach some very basic things, like I say, single collar tie, some basic stuff about rope. And then we answer the question that most people ask me is, what do you do after you tie them up? So we have a few things that we suggest to people. Hey, you can do this or you can do that. You can use candle wax. You can do some light flogging, some pinching, some things like that. So once I show them how to do some bondage and some of the things that they can do, and then answer that question, what to do next. So we teach that class. We haven't taught it since the we taught one class. Actually, so I teach that class, and then I also do some private sessions with some people to kind of, some people have gotten themselves, what they do what I say, they know enough karate to get their ass kicked. They know a few things, and they don't know how to kind of get past where they are, what's next. Or there are a lot of women I'm finding who want to be tied up, and their boyfriend may not know, but they don't want to sit in the whole class. Or they go on YouTube, and they see something, and they're trying it, but they don't know. They can't get the next part. If it's five steps, they at step 3.5. They don't know how to get do some private sessions as well.
How can the other person, let's say that, I'm in this relationship and I want to introduce that into our relationship. How can I get my partner involved in that without him feeling uncomfortable?
So first, start having a conversation. We're going to assume that the person asking has a good rapport and a good line of communication. So basically, just tell them about it. Say, hey, I saw this and I like it. Would you be up for asking if that's something they would like to try and learn?
What if they just say no right away because they feel like, that's just that's some BS. That's some slavery type stuff.
I'm gonna say if the person you ask gives a definitive. Okay, let me say this to women. If you ask a man something and he gives you a definitive answer, that's usually the answer. However, if he says no, then it's pretty much going to be no. But, like I say, kind of find out how he feels about it. Show him different pictures, use some different pictures. If you need photos to show him mine. You hit me up on Facebook at Solomon Abrams or you can show them my photos and kind of tell them why. Because most of the time when people say, hey, I don't want to do that, that's some bullshit, or that's what white folks do, that's enough, heterosexual men, I always like saying, that's gay, let them know, kind of answer to that and say, hey, this is this. To answer the whipping, what's in it for you, so what's in it for me, ask me to that. Here is, I want you to do this. And because I want to see what it's like, and it's a lot of times people see this stuff and it seems so complicated, and once they find out that they can do some basic stuff, they're more apt to try it, and they're more apt. The other thing, women, ladies, that the man and men too, the person is more apt to try it. If your response to it is, if you make them feel like they are part of this too, because if you want to be controlled and you let your man feel like he's in control, that's good. But also, don't spring it on him like, hey, I want you to tie me up, then I can tie you up. He's never going to go because it's going to be kind of like quid pro Like he not gonna do it because he don't want to have you do it to him. But if you can,
mm-hmm.
I say try to get it, find something that is simple, and let him know that it has nothing to do. It's not a knock on his manhood. It's not a you don't do enough. It's kind of like, you know, man, you do so much. I want to see. I'm ready for us to go to the next level. Some levels to this shit, baby. I think you should be at the next level.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the next level shit.
Yeah.
Find a way to present it to
them. It's like, from experiences and some discussions, you know, women have said, you know, I introduced this to my boyfriend or my husband, and they're like, oh, well, he feels emasculated. He does not want to take part in something like that. I want it to be a mutual thing. I want it to be, you know, if I do it, you know, if I'm on the receiving end and I want to give it, there's a lack of trust. He does not trust me. But it's not that. It's the woman trusts him, so she wants to feel like, okay, it has to be a mutual, you know, trust factor.
True. I don't know. I don't have the answers to fix relationships, but I am going
to say.
Right, right. Right, you're like, how do I get my man to do something? I don't know.
For female listeners, you know what I mean.
But I got you. A lot of times what that stems from is, and this has nothing to do with kink, it's those discussions and those arguments that we've all had. And as men, it's like we've been right before, and although it's hard to trust somebody when they don't admit to their faults, but they can admit to ours, you're kind of that big pot of that. And there may have been things he's may have, you know, after a while we start holding grudges. Everyone does it. Things that he may have asked you to do, ladies, and you were kind of dead set against it, and it was something he wanted. And you were dead set against it. It's kind of like now it's just chance to be dead set against something that you want to do. So it's like, I trust you to tie me up, or you didn't trust me enough to learn how to twerk. It becomes that. So so find out, like I say, if it's something like that, find out what that is, you know. The other thing is, just kidding. Open up. I'm gonna say, open up the lines of communication. Be open and truthful with each other.
Mm-hmm.
If a lot of times you hear that question, like, "Where you learn that from?" or "What makes you want to do that?" is that if a person don't trust you, I'm not gonna say they have a solid reason. They just have a reason, and you have yet to answer that reason for their trust. And it's a lot of times it's bigger than a little bit, so you have to be open to doing so. And like I said, most of the time for the men, the reason they say they don't want to do it for the most time, like one of the top answers is because I don't want her trying to tie me up, you know. And that's a lot of times what happens, that women are like, I want you to tie me up. You're not going to tie you up. Nope, I'm not going to do it. So you kind of got to, you know, and then sometimes we all accept things at our own pace. You know, you might have to, like I say, show them a couple of pictures, show them a video or two, you know, just kind of let the idea grow. And they let him adopt the idea on his own. Or the same thing for the men who are trying to tie their women up. You know, I'm going to say this. She's not going to let you tie her up, brothers, if she don't trust you. If she don't trust you, she's not going to let you tie her up. So if y'all having that don't go through my phone stuff, or y'all having those arguments or those things, she's not going to let you tie her up. But
right. This is definitely a communication trust factor. So tell me something, where can folks reach you and find you, and if they want to get a photo shoot done or take your classes, how can they get in contact with you?
One of the easiest ways is, like, we all use Facebook. Currently, Facebook jail right now, but Facebook, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram. That's Solomon Abrams. You can find me on Solomon Abrams. I have a website, Urban American Gallery. I am in the process of taking it down to kind of update it. You can find me on Twitter at @urban_American. Where else can you find me? Pretty much everywhere. I'm not trying to toot my horn. If you Google Solomon Abrams, SolomonAbrams, if you Google me, I pretty much come up. I'm on social media all over the place.
good. So reach out and touch him, ladies and gentlemen.
I wanted to add, and also have a fan page on Facebook, Urban American Gallery. You can see my work. And,
Urban American Gallery, okay.
Yep, Urban American Gallery. And I want to say, if you send me a friend request, send me a message saying how you heard, how you heard about me. Don't just send me a blind friend request and then don't say anything because,
I don't like that
either. I'm a four-time Facebook felon. Yeah, I'm a four-time Facebook felon, and I don't trust people on Facebook no more. So if you hit me up on Facebook, my page is, like I say, right now I'm in Facebook jail, so we got to find a different way. So I suggest Instagram. But if you hit me up, let me know why you hit me up, or if you have any more questions, I don't mind asking questions. Facebook. Mm-hmm. I'm on Tumblr under the Picture Academy. And where else am I? I'm on a few other sites as well, a few other social networks. And if not, just hit Miss Behaving up, hit her up, and she'll direct you right to me.
That's right. Unleash your inhibitions. So thank you so much, Solomon, for spending some time with us and answering all of our questions. I really appreciate it because I've learned a lot, and I'm sure our listeners have too. So we will be checking you out on Urban American Gallery, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. .com or on Facebook. Urban American. I'm sorry for saying it so fast.
Okay, so you guys make sure that you check Solomon Abrams out, and if you have any other additional questions for Solomon, please hit him up and check him out on Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter, Facebook, and his website. Make sure you like his page on Facebook as well, and. With that, thank you so much, Solomon. We are going to wrap it up. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for having me.
All right. You have a good night, sir.
You too.
Thank you. All right, guys. So there you go. Solomon Abrams discussing the art of bondage, rope bondage. And I hope that you got enough information so you can at least get yourself wet. So tap your foot in there and get ready, and there are so many myths and mysteries when it comes to the art of rope bondage, but I think that Solomon has covered a lot of bases as far as the origins of rope bondage and where it came from. Like he said, it started out in Japan from the 1400s, and it only started out with just local police arresting criminals, and they found a different way to entrap them. So, their way of capturing these criminals were just really literally capturing them and using different techniques to tie them up, tie these prisoners up, and it's showing their status of, how well. The style of the capture. It was not, and I, of course, I had to do some reading as well to find out some information. But, several hundred years later, the art of erotic bondage was started in Japan, of course. And, this erotic bondage, folks take it as a negative, but I personally feel like that the shibari style that Solomon was discussing, it really demonstrates sensuality, and it enhances the whole visual to me
in my personal opinion, the natural curves of the woman's body or a gentleman's, you know, but just speaking on a woman's perspective, when you're using the rope to really accentuate curves and, excuse me, and, you know, it shows like that tension, the strength between the rope and the subject, the person who is tied. And there's something sexy about that. I really think that when it's done right, then, you know, when I say when it's done right, meaning where, you know, the knots are tied in the safety zones and the no tie zone, the no binding zone, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. The positioning of the knots in those certain areas, you know, those pressure points, you know, that's something that's really beautiful, you know. And we had mentioned something about like a runner's high, being what I said, rope drunk, being rope drunk. You know, you have that relaxation, that sensation of being relaxed, maybe even acupuncture, you know, it's that release. That's what I'm looking for, that there's that transfer of energy and you just release. You're releasing your freedom to the person who is tying you. You're trusting them. But you're also releasing that sense of that energy. And it's an experience of these endorphins that exude, and you're in the moment. So I'm encouraging you to try it. Try it at least one time. You know, whether you are the person being tied or the rigger, you know, if you are the rigger, make sure you understand what you're doing, how to do it, what type of rope, as Solomon has mentioned. That's very, very important. If you have a sense of care in your heart, then let's make this safe. And that way both parties can enjoy it and make it, you know, a memorable and sexy thing, okay? So with that said, I just wanted to thank you all for listening in. I really appreciate it. Next week, we're going to talk about the mastering of masturbation. So I just want you guys to be ready for that. As always, be sure to check out my book. My book is Unleash Your Inhibitions, the Unleash Seductive Poetry on Amazon. Check out my Facebook page on Unleash Your Inhibitions. And if you have some businesses or services that you would like to advertise on the show, send me an email at unleashradio@gmail.com. And as always, love on each other and be good to each other. I'll be good to you. Thank you so much for checking in. Have a good evening.